Those brothers who have finished with their salah are requested to come closer to the minbar, inshallah. Come closer to the front. Those of you who are sitting at the back waiting for something to happen, if I can just request you to come a bit closer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin khatamin nabiyyin. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. Qad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fi kalamihi al-majid. Ba'd a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Sadaqallahu al-azim. My dear respected brothers and elders and youngsters and friends and sisters who are listening upstairs, and those sisters who are listening, and all the brothers and sisters who are listening online via the eMasjid Live app. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has given us the ability to gather in the masjid on this very special occasion. And alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate that we have in our midst the great scholar of Islam, from Bradford, Sheikh Mufti Saif al-Islam Sahib, who has been actually travelling this whole weekend doing lectures all throughout Lancashire, so in Oldham and other surrounding towns. And mashallah, he's been doing many lectures in many different masjids on many different topics. And alhamdulillah, he has given us the opportunity to actually present himself in our masjid as well for our benefit and for the benefit of our youngsters. And the topic that has been allocated to Mufti Sahib is the topic of the harms of social media. So alhamdulillah, you know, social media in many times can be a blessing, but there are many harms to social media. And unfortunately, everybody now is on social media, from the youngster to the old person. Everybody has some kind of social media application, and their minutes and their hours and their time is going is spent on these things. So alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib is going to come and deliver a talk. But before I call Mufti Sahib, I'd want to introduce him, and I'd want to mention a few things about himself. Because he's my honourable father-in-law as well. But because he's my father-in-law, I feel that by praising him, in essence, it's praising myself. So therefore, I don't want to say too many things. But all I can say is that we are very, very fortunate and we are very, very lucky to have Hazrat Mufti Sahib here in our company today. And inshallah, I'd just like to request Mufti Sahib to come forward and deliver this talk on the importance of, on the harms of social media. I have to mention a few things. Mufti Sahib has been doing work of deen for over 20 years now in his locality in Bradford, and all throughout the country as well, and now mashallah globally as well. So internationally, he's gone to many different countries for the purpose of da'wah, for the purpose of advising the people. And if you sit down with him and you talk to him, you hear about his karguzari and his safarname and his travels, and how he's been to many different countries, and how many people have actually benefited from him. Especially in Bangladesh as well, every single year he travels there, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people actually flock to listen to his talks and to benefit from him. He was recently in Barbados. He's just come back from Umrah trip in October. And every year, mashallah, he's always traveling. He had a Scotland tour recently. He's going to have a Luton tour probably in the next couple of weeks. And then he has a Birmingham tour, and then, I don't know, the list goes on. He just came back in October from Umrah, and he had a London tour. So he had 3 days in London in many masajid. So he's just always on the go, mashallah, always with that intention to serve humanity. And he's also been publishing and writing many books, Islamic books. So we're going to sell them here today. We don't have them. So inshallah, we will from time to time be selling them at the back of the masjid as well. So he's recently going to be finishing his 100th publication. So his 100th book he's been writing. So Allah Ta'ala accept all of these efforts from him, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala give him the ability to do all of this work, good work and more inshallah, till his final days inshallah. So I'll just pass the mic.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah has been mentioned about the social media. As a Muslim, we need to keep in mind that Islam is not only a religion, it's a way of life. And as Muslims, we need to make sure that we apply Islam in every aspect of our life. From morning till dusk, from birth till death, Islam has to govern us in every aspect. Unfortunately, this day and age, what has happened is we have limited Islam to few things. What has happened is, on the day of Jumu'ah, we will come to the masjid. Rest of the week, hardly anyone there. Fajr Salah, we will hardly even get one saf. I was giving the Jumu'ah lecture last Friday in Edmonton, near London. So, in the masjid, they had 5,000 people for the Jumu'ah. So, I asked this question, that how many of you were in Fajr Salah? Fajr Salah is equally important. Like Jumu'ah is Faraz, Fajr Salah is Faraz. But how many of us, we performed our Fajr? We have become part-time Muslims. That's why the Quran is telling us, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter Islam entirely, fully. Hakim al-Ummah Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thani rahimahullah ta'ala mentions these five branches, departments of Islam. We have the aqaid, the beliefs. Number two, ibadat, the worship. Number three, mu'asharat, the social interaction. Mu'amalat, number four, the transaction, trading, commerce, all this. And number five, akhlaq. All these five, akhlaq, character, all these five put together makes complete Islam, complete Muslim, complete mu'min. Complete Muslimah, complete mu'mina. So this is where we go wrong. We have picked some and left the others. Islam is not religion of picking and choosing, and that's it. So what we need to make sure that in every era, whatever comes out, invention, technology, Islam has given us principles to follow so we can apply them. Like social media is like a double-edged sword. We can use it to our advantage, we can use it for our disadvantage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرَ لِتَرَكَبُوهَا وَزِينَ وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah mentions about the different mode of transport at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people used to travel, mount on horses. Khayl means horses. Wal bighal, mules. Wal hamir, donkeys. Litarakabuha wa zina, that you mount on them and they are also for beauty. People keep them as an adornment, horses in their homes. Even this day and age, people keep horses to express their prosperity, their wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes the verse by saying, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Those who understand Arabic, the word يَخْلُقُ is فَيْلَ مُذَارَ, present and future. He will continuously create, and he'll continuously, he's creating now and continuously creating in the future, مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, those things which you do not know. Under this verse, the Mufassirun, the commentators of the Holy Quran say that this is referring to everything till the day of judgment, all the modes of transport, for example, the cars, the trains, the planes, the internet, all the different things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continuously create those things that you didn't know. So, at that time, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the internet, about the planes and the trains to the Sahaba ikram, it will be very hard to comprehend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by ending this with two verbs, يَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, Allahu Akbar. It's so beautiful that He will continuously create. He's creating and you continuously create those things that you do not know. So the internet, the social media, the technology that we have, we need to make sure that, is it good for us or is it not good for us? Is it advantage for us or disadvantage? In every matter, as a believer, as an intellectual, as a person who has some kind of understanding, we need to make sure that if you're going to apply something, is it good or not? The Sahaba Ikram asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yas'alunaka 'anil khamri wal maisir. They ask you regarding alcohol and gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Tell them, there is a big sin in it and there's some benefits in it as well. But remember, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. The sins is more greater than the benefits. And then, at the end, this was completely prohibited. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah mentions 10 reasons why alcohol and gambling has been prohibited. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوْفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this alcohol, this gambling that has been prohibited, why? 10 reasons have been given. يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَيُّوْقِعَ بَيْنَكُمْ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. It stops you from salah, it stops you from the dhikr of Allah. It creates enmity, hatred. So many reasons have been given. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. You're not going to stop yet? Like a Bedouin, he was asked, do you drink alcohol? Do you drink wine? And what a beautiful answer he gave. He gave, كَيْفَ أَشْرَبُ مَا يَشْرَبُ أَقْلِي. How can I drink something which drinks my aql? Do you know the word khamr? Arabic, it means something that covers. So khamr is called khamr. Sharab ko khamr kyun kehte? Why do we say it khamr? Because it completely covers the brain. A person doesn't know what he's doing. Al khamru jumma'ul ithm. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, alcohol is the root of all evils. So that's why it has been prohibited. If you look at social media, if you look at technology, as I said, it's like a double-edged sword. If we use it for our advantage, mashallah, there's no problem. So Islam, remember this before we move forward, Islam is not against technology. Islam is not against exploration, discovery, and for advancement. If it with the right reason, mashallah, nurun ala nur, that's brilliant. So we have to keep that in mind. But if that goes beyond our objective of life, like Einstein, Albert Einstein, he said, when technology takes over our social interaction, then remember this will create fools. When we are going to use our, like nowadays what happens is, five people come out of the masjid or coming into the masjid, physically it seems that they're all together, but each one is on their mobile phones. They don't have no clue who's next to them. This is our way of living our life now. So in everything we need to look at the advantage and disadvantage. So we got advantages of social media, technology, and we got disadvantages. So if you look deep into it, what are the advantages of social media? Number one, we'll go over the advantages first. MashaAllah, through our social media, through our mobile phones, smartphones, internet, we can keep connection with our family, relatives, friends, sheikh, teachers. So basically, it's the best way of keeping connection. It's a very good mode of communication. So it's very fast, quick. We'll know about our friends and colleagues, our family, wherever they live across the globe. So it's like a global village, so everybody has that connection with each other. So that's the advantage. You'll find out, okay, my son, how are you doing? My daughter, where are you? Yeah, I've just reached Pakistan, I've reached Bangladesh, I've just finished my Umrah. So basically that connection is there, which is very good. And that's matlub fi deen, to have that connection with your family. Alladhina yasiluna ma amara Allahu bihi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that we keep that relationship with our kith and kin, that maintain that relationship, which is very good. So that's an advantage. So if you are doing it with that reason, we have a mobile phone that I could connect with my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my siblings, my children, my friends, my relatives, my workmate, that's very good. My teacher, my sheikh, all this is commendable, this all rewardable. Second benefit is, we can use the social media for seeking knowledge. Nowadays, mashallah, in the lockdown, we use all the different apps, the Zoom app, through that, mashallah, we manage to continue seeking our knowledge. So So you can use all these different social media, whether it's YouTube, whether it's the Facebook, whether it's the Zoom app, whatever it is, we use these things for the benefit of seeking knowledge. That's a very big advantage. So these are the advantages. And if we continue using them for those reasons, alhamdulillah, we will be rewarded inshallah ta'ala. So in a nutshell, there's two main advantages, main benefits. Number one, we keep relationship, we keep connection, communication with our family, relatives, teacher, sheikh. And the second advantage is we seek knowledge through the social media. These are the two advantages, two benefits. What are the disadvantages? Number one, the biggest disadvantage is the fitna fil iman, that our iman is in jeopardy. Because through this social media, how many brothers and sisters have left deen? I personally have encountered many youngsters who left the deen because of social media. There was this youngster, and listen to this, my brothers and sisters, especially the youngsters, 18-year-old, he was doing his A-levels, second year A-levels. So his parents came to see me in my office, please can you speak to my son, we have called many scholars to speak to him, he's so arrogant, he's so stubborn, he doesn't want to speak. So if you can come over, he goes, what surety can you give me that he's going to speak to me? He goes, no, please come, hopefully he will speak. So I went to the house. The father, the mother, the grandmother, grandfather. I can still picture that scenario. Good few years ago. So the father and the mother, they were standing, leaning towards the wall, and they had the hands raised. Bachcha ko Allah samajh de do. Allah bachcha ko samajh do. Mufti sahab aaye Allah taala unke zariye se unko samajh de do. They were just crying. The father, the mother, the grandfather, the grandmother, they were all crying. And I was seated. When I entered, he looked at me in a very kind of strange way. He wasn't happy with me coming. So I said, Assalamu alaikum. He didn't reply and sat down. He sat down on the sofa set, his feet up, and they said, look, this is the Mufti Sahib, please shake hands. Why should I shake hands with him? I don't even think he's a Muslim. That's what he's saying. So we sat down. I knew he's not in a good mood and he's getting angry with his parents. Why have you one scholar after the other? You're just calling them. I don't want to hear them. So I started the conversation. It was very hard to start the conversation with him. So I said to him, look, you know, what do you believe? Because I just believe in the Quran. I said, what do you mean you just believe in the Quran? I am Ahl Quran. I don't believe in Hadith. I said, why don't you believe in Hadith? Because you know that Bukhari, he compiled this book few hundred years after the Prophet. So it's all wrong. What guarantees it is right? So whatever in the Quran he says, I accept. I go, okay. But why if the Quran says you have to follow the Sunnah, you have to follow the Hadith? And he goes, where does it say it? I said, you know, you said you're going to follow, are you going to follow? So I read out the verses regarding the importance of the Sunnah and following the Prophet. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ مَا آتَاكُمْ رَسُولُ فَخُذُوا مَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. I read number of verses regarding following the Prophet. مَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. So all these verses which talks about the obedience to the messenger. So do you know what he said to me? He said, it's your words against my words. I go, no, I've just read out Quran to you. You said you know debate to me just using Quran. That was his condition. You can't use Hadith to prove me wrong. You have to use Quran. So I said, I read good 10-15 verses in front of you. You're not going to accept. So he goes, no. So I said, so where are you getting your information from? Because no, I got a translation of Aisha Bewley's Quran. So I said, so you're accepting a translation of a sister and you're not accepting the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Hadith. How ironic. So then I said, so do you read Salah? He said, I do. So I said, how many? So he was about to say five. I said, five? How do you read five? Because it doesn't mention five nowhere in the Quran. No, I read two. I go, Acha, you read two. Because it only mentions Fajr and Isha there. So he just put himself to two. I said, okay, so how do you do Ruku and Sajda? It doesn't mention about how the position of Ruku. This all been demonstrated by the Prophet. So he was getting stuck every time. and he didn't have anything to say, and the parents were thinking that he might be able to accept his, you know, conceding his defeat. So he just came up, he said, look, you know, why do you in your masjid have La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah written? So I said, what's the problem? He goes, La nufarriqu bayna ahadim minhum. In the Quran he said, you should not distinguish between the prophets. So you should have La ilaha illallah Ibrahim Khalilullah, La ilaha illallah Ibrahim and Isa Ruhullah. You should have every prophet's name. So I said, he's the last prophet and we have to follow his Sharia. That's why he's La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. For each time, era, that prophet was the Sahib of Sharia. So we had, I don't want to go in deep, I just want to get, just as an example, I wanted to say that to you. So at the end, the main point I want to mention now, I said to him, where did you get all this information from? So he says that there's a website, and so-called Muslims, he's not even, you know, these thousands of websites are run by enemies of Islam, portraying as a Muslim, and they're putting doubts. So he says this particular website, and he gives all these questions there, and he puts all this in mind. Islam is not the right religion. Point number one. Why? Because this hadith has been compiled by this person called Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. It was written in this era, and this is all wrong because it's written after a long time. And there's sort of contrasting views regarding his hadiths. There's contradiction between this hadith and that hadith. So all the contradiction has been put there. A person starts to think, no, then it's wrong. So he goes that I visit this website, and I said, anybody else? He goes, all my friends from my college also have the same belief as me. Allahu Akbar. I was giving a lecture in Oldham last time, and there was this student who was doing his master's in Manchester University. So he, after the salah, his father, after my program, the father said, can you just have a word with my son? I said, what's the problem? So he took out all the hadith of Bukhari, and he took out all contradictions, all objections. This hadith is wrong, that hadith is wrong, because that doesn't make sense. This is against aql, this is against logic, this is against intellect. And Allahu Akbar, can you answer? So this is what happens when a person goes deep into it. Another person, like in the Quran where he says that there should be two men as witness, if not two men, then one man and two women. So they use this and they put down, achha, look at it, and this explain with statistics that girls, females, they're much more clever than men. And here is saying one man is equal to two women. So look at, Islam is very sexist. So all these messages that came after this, yeah, I was a Muslim, but I've left Islam because of this. Look how dangerous it is. It is taking a person out of the fold of Islam. This is taking a person out of the fold of Islam. So this is the fitna fil iman fil aqaid. The biggest fitna of this social media is we're losing our youngsters, brothers and sisters, through the social media, because the biggest trial and tribulation of the social media is that it jeopardizes our iman. And it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. People don't even realize. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Satakunu fitna, samma bakma amya." The fitna will come, it will make a person deaf, dumb and blind. Yusbihu musliman wa yumsi kafira. In the morning he'll be a believer, in the evening he'll be a disbeliever. Wa yumsi musliman wa yusbihu kafira. In the evening he is a believer, in the morning he'll be a disbeliever. Yabi'u deenahu bi'aradhin min ad-dunya. He will sell his deen for a paltry thing of this dunya. This was happening. This is exactly what is happening. The second fitna, that's fitna fil aqaid. The second fitna is fitna fil a'mal. That even those people who got iman, but our iman has, our amal, our practical side has become so weak. We don't have no time to do amal. You look at the consumption time on a daily basis on our social media, you'll see on WhatsApp this amount of time, Facebook this amount of time, Zoom this amount of time, and all the different apps, you'll see all the amount of hours and minutes and seconds that you've used, and you'll be shocked, huh? This is the amount of time I'm using. Allahu Akbar. So the Quran is saying that يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة. That that the same reason why alcohol and gambling has been prohibited, the same logics, the same analogy has been used here, that is stopping a person from performing salah, from doing the dhikr of Allah, from fulfilling the rights of parents and the wife and children. This is exactly what is happening, because it's fitna fil a'mal, at the time of salah. I could remember when, just a few months ago, European Cup final, England was playing. Which team? England were playing which team in the final? No, in the final, in the European Cup final. Yeah, Italy, whichever team. So on that day I was out in Manchester somewhere. So every person, they were from Mufti, said, what are you doing in Manchester? You're supposed to be watching football now. I said, why? Football, England playing. You know, you live, you're British. You're supposed to be watching football at this moment. I went to a particular scholar's house, and first thing he said, you know, if you want to watch the football, it's on its climax, basically. You can watch it, or you do want to have a cup of tea. I said, I didn't come for a cup of tea, neither did I come for watching TV. If I wanted, I could have watched it at home. So it's completely mad. You know, like he says, football is not just a game, it's become a religion. So this, and many times when, I could remember in 1990 or something, very long time ago, when there was a time, it was England playing Brazil or Argentina at the time of Juma. Those who are quite in their 40s, they will remember, it was a Juma day, and I went for Juma, and I didn't see no youngsters at all. There were just elderly few people in Juma. It was like Fajr Salah. So I said, huh, what's happening here? Where's everybody? And they said, Mufti Sahab, which world do we live in? Because don't you know England is playing today's World Cup quarter final or something like that? I go, oh, astaghfirullah, I didn't know. You know, I was too busy with my work and whatever. Because this is the reason. And those who were there after Namaz, usually after Juma, you see people outside loitering around and everything. There was nobody there after Faraz. Everybody ran out. And I said, huh? It's strange. Especially if you're not on top of things, then this is what happens. You start to think, well, there's something wrong. Allahu Akbar. Look at what's happened. Social media has completely destroyed us in that sense as well. Just Pakistan were playing cricket at the last. So there's few girls in our madrasa, so they didn't attend the class. So when they were caught, the message came to me that this. I asked them, why did you not? Because, you know, we were crying because our team lost. I go, your team? Which team? You're in England. Pakistan. No, we're Pakistanis. That's why, you know, we have love for them. It's patriotism. Mufti Sahab, you know, our team lost. We should be sad. I go, Allah, look at the mentality. They're not even boys, they're girls. You know, it's quite surprising. So the point here is, this is what's happened. You know, the engrossment. The engrossment in these kind of things. So if a person engrosses himself into these kind of things, look at the dangers of it. That we have forgotten the purpose of life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So disadvantage one is the iman, the aqaid. We destroy our aqaid. Secondly, in terms of our ibadat, we don't even perform a fajr. Because what happens is, many of the practicing brothers and sisters, we hook onto it at night time, only to realize 2-3 o'clock in the morning, then we fall asleep, and we tend to miss our fajr salah. So it stops us from doing ibadat. And then subhanallah, the negative side of things, the pornography, the un-Islamic immoral things, I don't need to spell these things out, how dangerous it is. Young children, boys and girls, primary school, secondary school, they are hooked into these kind of things, and they're hooked into all these LGBT and all the different kind of haram and unlawful, un-Islamic things taking place. So there are so many disadvantages of going into the social media. So the question arises here, you might be thinking, subhanallah, is it worth using the social media? Obviously, as I said, it's a double-edged sword. So if we want to use the social media, we have to follow certain etiquettes, certain adab. And today I want to mention these adab before I conclude, that these adab has to be put into place if we want to be successful and save ourselves from the disadvantages, from the harms of social media. Number one, everyone listen, my brother and my sister, and who are listening online as well, that before we, you know, open our mobile phone, switch it on, Why am I switching on my mobile phone for? The first question we should be asking, what's your intention? The first hadith we read of Imam Bukhari, the first hadith of Mishkat, the first hadith of Riyadhus Salihin, the first hadith of Zadu Talibin. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. Actions according to intentions. So before we switch our mobile on, am I switching it on to phone my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, to phone the scholar to find a masla, putting on this certain scholar, his speech, I'm going to listen on YouTube, or I'm going to listen to Sheikh Sudais or Shuraim, the Tilawat, I'm going to listen to this nasheed of this particular scholar, this particular nasheed artist, and I'm going to try to increase the love of the Prophet in my heart. What's my intention? So first thing, my brother, my sister, before we switch on our mobile phone or social media, what is our intention? First of all, we rectify, correct, and reform and sort our intention out. That's the first thing. Every time, whether we switch mobile on 5 times, 10 times, daily, whatever, make sure our intention is correct. And that's why those hadith writers, they have put the hadith that what's your purpose of studying? In the same way, what's your purpose of switching your mobile on? Number one is keeping in mind what's the purpose. If his purpose of speaking to your mother, father, go forward, mashallah, brilliant. No worries. Go for it. Switch your mobile on, speak to your mother, speak to your father, speak to your teacher, listen to the YouTube scholar who's speaking, mashallah, great scholar, listen to his bayan and do it with the intention of practicing. Number one. So, after you've switched it on, because you've got the right intention, number two etiquette is, start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because now it's become noble. It's not something which is wrong. It's not something which is sinful. You're going to get, inshallah, reward. Like now you want to listen to Sheikh Sudais' recitation. You want to listen to a scholar of great caliber. You want to listen to his speech. MashaAllah, very good. No problem. So, that's why he says, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ زِبَالٍ لَمْ يَبْدَ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَقْتَى. Every good deed which is not started with Bismillah or Dhikr of Allah, it is left defect in it. It is left unaccomplished. Not full, incomplete. So by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you've switched on the mobile, you got the correct intention. So the two other, what is it? Number one is intention. Number two is, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after you put it on, shaitan is going to start to get weak, but at the same time, he's still got that lalash, that greed, that hope and anticipation, he could digress you and take you into the wrong path. So throughout your journey, you put on, for a way of example, you're listening to Sheikh Sudais Surah Yusuf or something. So basically, you got the intention, I will listen to full Surah Yusuf, you made the right intention, you said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and you put it on. So you're listening to Surah Yusuf. So the third etiquette is, you're listening to Surah Yusuf, in between Surah Yusuf, there's an advertisement that comes on. Or there's some distraction that comes on. Go to this website, which is un-Islamic, which is wrong. So you have to have taqwa. The third etiquette is taqwa, the fear of Allah. No, there might be nobody here, but if I'm going to digress, if I'm going to stop listening to Sheikh Sudais and just the advertisement which just has popped up, if I go and press that, it's going to take me to some kind of wrong website, un-Islamic, immoral. So I have to have the taqwa, the fear. So the third etiquette is taqwa. Are you following me, everybody? That's the third etiquette. So throughout, fear of Allah. No, I can't go. I made my intention. I need to, like Tablighi Jamaat, they say, I need wo niyat shuru mein theek karo, darmiyan mein bhi theek rakho, aur akhir mein bhi. So throughout our journey of listening, we need to make sure that we have our intention correct. Throughout, the fear of Allah should be there to keep that intention right. Number four, we mentioned three. Number four, if you have slipped, you're listening and then suddenly you realize Allah. And many times what happens is before you realize, you have gone to another side, hey, where did I start? Where have I ended? You realize that. This will be relevant to so many, that you switch on the mobile to speak to your mother and you're ending up, in Australia somewhere on the mobile phone. What am I doing here? So what happens is, if you slipped, then you need to use the ointment. What is that ointment? The ointment of Tawbah. forgiveness. Astaghfirullah, what have I done? Inna lillah. I was listening to Sheikh Sudais and it was so beautiful recitation. I've been, you know, sort of digressed and towards this has completely taken me somewhere else, tempting me to go to something wrong. So the fourth is the tawbah. So we had the intention right, we got said Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with taqwa throughout. If we have slipped, then the ointment, the prescription, the remedy, the cure is tawbah, repentance. At-ta'ibu min az-zambi kama la zambala. Do tawbah and get back to your objective. That's the first intention that you made, the noble intention. If you couldn't, just switch it off and reflect for a moment of time. Just don't move on. Just don't go forward. So, how many did I mention? Number one, niyat, intention. Number two, bismillah. Number three, taqwa. If you slip, number four, tawbah. So, mashallah, you have put on Sheikh Sudais's Surah Yusuf. Mashallah, you managed to listen till the end. You're happy. So, you mashallah passed. There was no need for tawbah or anything. Alhamdulillah, you went through with the fear of Allah. Then that doesn't mean you continue, okay, let me listen to the next surah. No, you got other duties and responsibilities. The fifth adab is never ever go beyond its usage. Don't overuse. In other words, if you are going to be listening to a particular sheikh or a particular imam or a particular nasheed artist, whatever, you're going to just keep it to, okay, on a daily basis, my usage consumption would be 45 minutes, 1 hour, no more than that. Even if he's going to be recitation of the Quran, even if he's going to be scholar after scholar, because people get addiction. People get addicted to those kind of things. So, don't exceed the limits. Number five, adab is, don't exceed the limits. Because now your mother's calling you, and you're thinking, no, alhamdulillah, I'm listening to Sheikh Shuraim now, I've listened to Sheikh Sudais, I'm listening to Sheikh Shuraim, I'm going to listen to Mullah Tariq Jamil Sahib, I'm going to listen to this scholar, I'm going to listen to that scholar. So now you're thinking to yourself, I'm doing a good job. Your mother's calling you for a need, and you're not listening. It's time to go to the masjid for performing your salah, you're not going to salah. You're thinking to yourself, no, my listening to this scholar will be better. No, don't go beyond the limit, don't exceed the limits. This is very important. If we can do this, mashallah, and use those etiquettes when using the social media, there's no problem. You can use your social media. So what did I say? I'll just say these points, the main points, the bullet points. So I've explained the advantage and the disadvantages. Advantages, number one, the advantage is that we can connect with our family members, connect with our teachers. Number two, the benefit of increasing our knowledge, seeking knowledge. The disadvantage, one is in the aqaid, many people leave the iman because of the dangers which is there lurking in the social media. Number two, in our a'mal, stops us from performing our salah, stops us from reciting the Quran, and also the evil of sins, pornography and all the rest of it, immoral acts. So these are all the disadvantages. Then if we are going to use it, it's like a double-edged sword. If you use it properly, then this will be to advantage. We can use that to destroy the enemy of Islam. And if you use it towards us, then it will kill us. It will completely finish us. So number one is, we need to make the right intention. I hope everybody is putting this in your mind. Number one, the correct intention. Number two, reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Number three, a person needs to have taqwa throughout the usage. Number four, if he slips whilst using the social media, do sincere tawbah. Number five, don't exceed the limits. So this is very important. Few other points that we have to remember, that a person who is using social media, we use social media for good things as well as bad things, as has been mentioned. And one thing that we have to remember, that before we send a message, before we listen to a message, before we put a message forward on our Facebook or Twitter or WhatsApp or SMS, whatever, we need to make sure that this message is correct, is right, is rewardable. So you know, nowadays all these messages that come, you send a full video clip of 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, and it's completely waste of time. And you sent it to all your friends, 256 people on your WhatsApp, and all these other people on your Facebook, and your Instagram, and everything, and it's a waste of time. There's lies there, there's music there, there's swearing there. So you have got sin just by pressing one button. You have got the sin of all those hundreds of people. You are the means of getting them into sins. مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا. If you do something good, you'll get the reward and reward of all these people. وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَلَهُ وِزْرُهَا وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا. And if you started something evil, you'll get the sin and the sin of all those people who practice on that. So it's not something small. So my brother, my sister, if you want to send a message, then you need to take everybody through the triple filter test. And this is very important. I want you to listen to this attentively. Because we don't act upon this, this is the problem where we're having all these fabricated ahadith, fabricated incidents, all those things which have no basis in Sharia. We are just spreading messages. We are, you know, the clashes between this scholar and that scholar, this Maktabai Fikr and that Maktabai Fikr. And why? Because we don't take it through the triple filter test. What does triple mean? Three. We have to filter it three times. So listen to this. I want everybody, this is our takeaway. Today our takeaway is this. Not the food takeaway, the spiritual takeaway. And if we can act upon this, mashallah, we will be successful. So number one filter is the filter of truth. Somebody sent you a message. First thing you should be asking or clarifying or verifying the information that has come, is it true or not? So in all aspects, whether somebody sends you a message, verify it, clarify it. Whether you are saying it, clarify, verify it. Whether you are about to send the message through your WhatsApp. So whether you are listening to it, whether you are saying it, don't make it like the Chinese whisper. Starts off saying, do it. At the end he said, don't do it. Completely different message. That's why the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِيَ. It's sufficient for a person to be a liar that he narrates everything that he hears. So social media, the harms of it is, many a times we don't take it through the triple filter test. So when you're listening, when you're passing on the message, or when somebody else is about to say something, you're about to say something, then the first filter is a filter of truth. You know, the Quran is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيِّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. If a fasiq comes, Allah is classifying, labeling that person a fasiq who doesn't clarify, who doesn't investigate if it's true or not. Message comes without even reading it, we'll just send it, forward it, forward it, forward it, forward it. I could remember a great scholar of Bangladesh, a very close friend. So a message came regarding him, he's passed away. So I didn't take too much notice. Then the message started coming one after the other. Then the Khatm Quran started. After Inna Lillah, Inna Lillah, there's 2056 Inna Lillah. Then the Khatm Quran started. So people phoned me, Mufti Sahib, you know, this friend of yours, and he's a very great scholar, we've heard, very sad to hear, he's passed away. He goes, has he really passed away? Have you really looked into the matter? Because of course, so many people have sent the message, but have you verified and clarified? So I said, let me speak. You know, so I phoned his son-in-law. In Dhaka, I phoned him, and I said, you know, we're getting this message about your father-in-law, he's passed away. He goes, no, my father-in-law is sitting in front of me. My father-in-law is sitting in front of me. I go, Allahu Akbar. And this has happened so many times. Not even regarding only this person. So many other cases. He's passed away. And the next message comes, no, he's still in Sakarat. Bas marne ke intizar mein hum. Why do you have to go into all these things for? Allahu Akbar. I've never ever, you know, never ever passed messages on. If somebody has passed away very close, I will directly phone the family member to verify the situation. And that's it. I will not pass the message on to anybody else. So the point here is, we need to verify, is it true or not? Number one, the filter of truth. And subhanAllah, let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you'll be able to save a lot of time. You know, people phone me on a daily basis, and the first thing I take them, I said, you know, you've just said about something about this brother or sister, is it true or not? No, I heard it from the third party. Put the phone down, brother. Put the phone down. No, Mufti, you don't want to hear, you're so stubborn. I said, no, you haven't verified. Why are you sending messages like this? Look at our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahu Akbar. He says, oh my beloved companions, do not come with any negative comments regarding any of my companions. I want to meet every single companion with a clean heart. Allahu Akbar. And we want to just have, what did he say? What was he doing? What was he? Why was he standing near the pope for? I saw him, he had that, you know, alcohol drink on his hands. What was he, you know, does he drink alcohol? So we always inquisitive about finding people false. So this is the problem that we have. So the first filter is the filter of truth. Is it true or not? Even if it's true, the point here is the next filter is it good or not? It might be true, but is it good or not? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba ikram, "Atadruna mal ghiba?" Do you know what backbiting is? They said, "Allah wa Rasulu a'lam." Allah and His Messenger knows best. So he said, "Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrahu." Your mentioning of your brother of those things which he dislikes. So the Sahaba ikram asked, "In kana fihi ma akul?" If he has the things in him what I'm saying, then what's wrong with that? Because in kana fihi ma taqul faqad ightabtahu. If he is in him what you're saying, that's backbiting. Wa illam takun fihi, and if he's not in him faqad bahattahu, then that's buhtan, that's tuhmat, that's slander, that's even worse. It's not something easy, it's not something light. When na'uzubillah, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul put the allegations against Sayyida Aisha, our beloved mother, regarding adultery, the Quran is saying, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You're just spreading the message out from one person to the other person, and you thought it is very light thing. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. This is a great sin in the eyes of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those people who want to spread rumors in the Muslims, for them there's severe punishment, leave alone the Akhirah, even in this world. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And what are we doing with social media? Marriage are breaking up every day. No, I want to break this marriage. I'm going to just put a photo. I'm going to, you know, I'm very expert on, I'll get girls' photo and boys' photo together, and I'll just put them all, they were together, and break that marriage. So what we're doing is we are trying to cause and spread rumors around within the Muslim community. Allah saying, for them, leave alone the punishment of the Akhirah, there will be big punishment for them in the dunya. It's not something small. So the filter of goodness, even if it's true but it's not good, you don't spread it out. That's backbiting. Al-ghibat wa ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibat is worse than adultery. So second filter. The first filter was the filter of truth. The second filter, is it good or bad? If it's not good, why do we have to say it for? We're always looking at people's words. No, I know my next door neighbor, I heard them shouting and screaming. You're spreading that out. You're supposed to be safeguarding the privacy of your neighbors. No, last night I couldn't go to sleep. The husband and wife, they were arguing, they were swearing, there was music on, this and that. And you're spreading that out to everybody. Allahu Akbar. That's the second filter. Third filter is true, is good, but is it useful for me or not? You know, I'm saying something is true, is good, or this person, mashallah, he came to the masjid, he did this, he did that, he went to the shopping. Is he useful? Am I getting reward for it? If he's not rewardable, why am I wasting my time talking about somebody? Even if he likes it, but why am I wasting my time? Because time is precious. That's what the hadith says, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُثُ. The person who believes in Allah on the last day, let him say something good or let him be quiet. If there's nothing good to say, be quiet. So social media, if we use it in that angle, first of all, we'll only use it as a necessity, and we will save a lot of time. We'll save a lot of time. Or else we know the dangers of social media. We know what's happening. Every day new apps are coming. The TikTok and the, you know, the WhatsApp and Facebook and the Instagram and the whatnot. Allahu Akbar. And our children are hooked into it. From the age of 2-3 till, you know, a person before he reaches his grave, then he is continuously using it. And because of this, subhanallah, what is happening is our responsibilities. Husband, wife sleeping in the same room, on the same bed, but the wife is on one side on the mobile phone, the husband is on the other side on the mobile phone, and that's it. There's no affection, there's no love between the couple. Every sibling is in his room and he is wasting his time on the social media. So what we need to keep in mind is we can use the social media, but these are the conditions. If a person cannot fulfill these conditions, then it's best for him not to use the mobile phone. Because وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا, the sins are more than his benefits. So that's why each and every one of us, we need to keep that in mind. And if we want to save that ourselves, one Abu Zakaria, a great scholar, he says there's janabatis of two types. So he said there's one which is janabat fil badan and the other one is janabat fil qalb. So janabat fil badan, a person, he becomes ritually impure, then he has a ghusl bath for that, he becomes clean. And janabat fil aqalb is when a person is exposed to un-Islamic things. So to get rid of this, the cure for this is staying in the company of the pious people. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Oh, those who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay with their righteous, the rightful people. And how long should you stay with these people? That's why it's very important that we connect ourselves to the masjid, to the scholars, to the imams. And this is what is going wrong. The Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his time, what happened was, there was a pandemic, like we have the pandemic now. So 6,000 people used to die on a daily basis. So the mashayikh and the ulama ikram got together and they said, there's three things we have to do to get rid of the spiritual illness. So we look at the physical side of things. Medical experts have said, okay, we need to have the social distancing, we have to have the face mask, we have to wash our hands, we need to take the vaccine and all the rest of it. But we haven't taken the spiritual remedy. So he gives three points. He said, frequent the masjid. And we thought the remedy is not coming to the masjid. Stay away from it. And the scholars have mentioned, to get rid of the pandemic is come to the masjid. Come frequently to the masjid. Number two, increase the recitation. We don't have no time for recitation. We're all day long on social media. Number three, increase charity. No, we're hoarding that. Because why? Why if everything, you know, we'll lose our job. The furlough is finished. So how are we going to survive? So we stop giving in charity. So three things we should be doing, we haven't done. So the point here is, janabat fil qalb, the impurity of the heart, will be removed by staying in the company of the pious. And how long should we be staying? خَالِتُوهُمْ حَتَّى تَكُونُ مِثْلَهُمْ. Stay in the company until you become like them. So this is very important. This day and age when the fitna is such, that يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانَ أَصَّابِرُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِذِ عَلَى الْجَمَرِ. A time will come upon the people who are persevering on the deen is like holding hot cinder on the hands. This is what we are facing. So at that time it's very important that we connect ourselves to the masjid, to the ulama, to the mashayikh, to those who are frequenting the masjid, then inshallah ta'ala we'll be able to survive. So the points I have mentioned, if we can take that on board, take it home with us, and again I like to say the etiquettes that I've mentioned, keep that in mind. Number one, the intention. Number two, Bismillah ar-Rahman. Number three, taqwa, the fear of Allah. Number four, tawbah, the repentance. Number four, don't go beyond the usage. That don't use it too much. Anything. Islam is a moderation. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. That is a modern religion. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَدْوَمَهُ إِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved action is that action is done constantly even though it's small. So we need to keep that moderation there, then we'll be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what has been said. Allah give me the opportunity and give you the ability as well. And inshallah ta'ala, if we do use it properly, as I said in the beginning, listen, Ani, the principle and Islam doesn't go against the concept of technology, advancement through technology. Islam does contradict that. If we use it for the wrong purposes, obviously Islam abhors that, Islam detests that. But if it's used for the right purpose, alhamdulillah, we can progress Islam, we can advance Islam to bigger heights, higher heights, and mashallah, we can become stronger Muslims, we can spread the deen through social media if we use it in the right way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Jazakallahu khair, ahsan jaza, for listening attentively. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma amin alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa la'aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna. Allahumma zidna wa la tanqusna. Wa akrimna wa la tuhinna. Wa a'tina wa la tahrimna. Wa afirna wa la tu'thir alayna. Wa ardina wa arda anna ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma la tada'lana dhamman illa ghafarta. اللهم انا نرجوك الا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا الا غفرته، ولا هما الا فرجته، ولا كربا الا نفسته، ولا دينا الا اديته، ولا سؤالا الا اعطيته، ولا دعاء الا اجبته، ولا مريضا الا شفيته وعافيته، ولا ميتا الا رحمته، ولا حاجه من حوائج الدنيا والاخره هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح الا اعنتنا على قضائها يا ارحم الراحمين. الله سبحانه وتعالى accept this gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend your tranquility, your peace, your serenity, your blessing, your rahmah, your boon, your favors on this gathering. Allah, all the youngsters, all the brothers and sisters who have gathered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save each and every one of us from the dangers of social media. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life upon iman, give us death upon iman, and raise us with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Allahumma rizukna murafaqatan nabiyyi fil jannah. Allahumma matti'na bin nadri ila wajhika al-kareem. فإن هذا النعيم ليس بعده نعيم. اللهم اجعل هذا الاجتماع اجتماعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم اجعل آخر كلامنا من الدنيا شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله غير غضبان وأنت عنا راض يا رب العالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.